Amen. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. My little children. You know, that's what we are to God, children. We're his children. I don't want to be his goat. I want to be his child. He loves me like I was his only child. You know, there's seven stages. Doc's got it in his Bible here. There's seven stages, and we've learned that through Bible school, seven stages of spiritual growth in a Christian. And the Bible talks about it. But I find in this day and time, most Christians stay babies. You know, they think staying a baby is safe. Somebody always waits on you, or somebody always changes your diaper, somebody's always taking care of your problem, somebody's always feeding you, somebody's always... But when I got saved, I didn't want to stay a baby. Amen. I didn't want to stay a baby. And every baby doesn't want to stay a baby. But I don't know why it is. Christians don't mind staying a baby. They don't mind. A lot of Christians it is. And they just want to be a baby, and they want to stay a baby. They just want to scream and cry and kick and throw a fit anytime they don't get their way. You ever seen children have a fit when they can't have their way? It makes me just want to tear their hide up. It makes me just want to whoop their hide. And especially my own kids. If I see them throw a fit, I say, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. That was a favorite saying. That's what my father used to say to us. Now, how many of y'all used to say that to your kids? I still say it to your kids. I'll give you something to cry about. And, you know, the Lord is, he's long-suffering and slow to anger and all that, but still, we're his children, and he loves his children. And the Bible says that, you know, a man will spank his child, you know, but the Lord is long-suffering, slow to anger and all that. Thank God he is. But he chastens us. He will chasten you. He'll whoop you. He'll spank you. And you'll know most of the time when you're getting a spanking. You'll know it. And the stages, and the Bible tells you, and look with me to hold your place there in 1 John. See babies, 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians. Isn't that funny? We go to 1 Corinthians to see a baby. Because Corinthians, the Lord's, or Paul's writing to them because they're still acting like babies. They're still acting like babies. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I've said this Sunday, I said a lot of times people can revert back. You know, you see people get older, and as they get older, sometimes they can revert back to a baby. I've seen parents, I've seen men and women, as they got older, they revert back. And they go back to in their childhood. They can remember things. I hope to God that I hope I never revert back to being a baby. I want to stay elder. I want to stay up there where I can, you know, have my sense about me. But people revert back to babies. But spiritually, you don't want to do that. You definitely don't want to do that. It says, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as on the spiritual, but as on the carnal. And it says, even as on the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And some people can't, you know, can't take any meat. They can't take any problems or struggles in their life. And they come apart. They come apart at the seams. And, you know, knowledge puffeth up. A lot of people have knowledge, but they have no discretion. They have no wisdom. They have a lot of knowledge, but when it comes to applying it, they don't have no wisdom to apply the thing. And I've seen guys I've had preachers on the phone, and they knew the book. They knew it. And I've talked to them, and they're just about ready to come apart. And they're reverting back. And I pray, like I said, I'm not exempt from it. I'm not, and neither are you. We're not exempt from it. I pray I never have to go through that and come to a place in your life that you go through such a hard time that you just... I called a guy today came across his phone number, and I called him. I hadn't talked to him in years. And I said, brother, how old are you now? He said, I'm 55. I remember the guy used to come down here and sit out here and read his Bible out loud. And he'd read, half a day, he'd be out there outside the church here, read his Bible for half the day out loud. And remember, I street preach and everything. And I said, what are you doing, man? He said, well, I'm in between jobs. I'm not really going to church, and I'm not serving the Lord. I said, why? Why? I pray I'll never be able to figure out why they're doing it. And I said, God's been good to you, man. And he's, you know, he just, Well, I'm tired of these preacher dictators and, you know, all that stuff. And I said, I'm not a dictator. And he goes, I know you're not. I said, I've never been a dictator. I said, before I got saved, I was a gang leader. I said, I was in that mess. I never want to be that after I was saved. A lot of preachers, they want to get that way. They want to be rule everybody's life. I'm not trying to rule your life. I want the Lord to rule your life. That's who. If God rules your life, everything would be fine. But, you know, a lot of times he says, well, up here in New York, you know, with these preachers trying to be dictators, they are men worshipers. And oh, I said, we don't do that. We don't worship men. You can get around me. You can figure out. You find all kinds of flaws with me. You ain't going to worry about that. But these guys, he said, well, these guys. I said, what's the problem is, see, you're looking at men. You're comparing yourself among yourself. That's not wise. You start comparing yourself among each other, then you'll be discouraged. You can't do that. You got to get your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. And like I said, I'm convinced if you don't have a love for him and asking God to help you to love him, see, all hell can break loose around you. As long as you're looking at him and you're loving him, you'll just be happy. You'll be happy. I like to preach that message called I Think Myself Happy. I like that because I want to be happy. I want to be thankful. And when you're thankful, you're happy when you're thankful. But I find most Christians are not thankful any day. They're just unhappy. And, you know, they go through problems and they're ready to throw in the towel. I mean, we've been through all kinds of hell on this earth, man. And we've been through stuff. And, man, I never thought about Lord helping me. Never thought about throwing in the towel. Never thought about quitting. And you got guys always ready to, anything happens, ready to quit, ready to throw in the towel. I'm not going to do that. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You might have to talk me out of it next week, but... It says, you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy. That's how you know a child. That's how you know a carnal Christian. Got envy, strife, division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? And that's how you know when somebody's still a carnal Christian. They're envious of people. They're always got strife around them. Always a division. I would never let my children fight each other. I grew up with a guy that his father would teach them boys they would have to fight each other. And they, as they got older, they were fighting each other like Cain and Abel. They fought each other, and one of them bit the thumb off, the other one spit in his face. And then that one killed his dad. His mother killed dad, but he took the responsibility for killing his father. And come out of the Marine Corps, he was home for a little while, and his mother was getting beat up by his father, and he went in there And man, they got fighting, and the mother, and all of a sudden a hand came in there and started jabbing the man with a knife and butcher knife into his chest, and he grabbed his mother and said, Mama. And his father was looking at him going, he just fell to the bed, and he put his hands all over the knife so he would be charged. And this guy taught his kids to fight each other. I never let my kids fight each other. I always wanted the peace in the home. I wouldn't let that happen. You know, God doesn't want your children. He doesn't want his children fighting each other. No way. He doesn't want that. And it says, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envy and strife and division. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? And while one saith, I'm a Paul, and another of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You got this thing going on where you got this all this, who are you with, and all that stuff. Man, get away from that mess. Get away from that mess. Huh? I tell folks, I said, if a guy come by, I don't care what school he went to, long as he believes the book, long as he's not a heretic. If he comes by, I don't do that. I say if a guy believes the Bible, fine. If he believes the Bible, he doesn't have to be in the same camp that we're in. He can believe the book, as long as he's not a heretic. And look, go back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Doc used to say this. He said, man, life's too short to be bugged. And what he's talking about, it's just so stupid stuff. Stupid stuff goes on. You get tired of stupidity. And I pray God help me not to be stupid. Help me not to be stupid. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God we do have an advocate. That's pleading somebody else's cause, being and stepping in for somebody. That's what they call the judge advocate down in the military. That's a lawyer representing you. You know, I thought about that. I thought about how, you know, you watch TV, you see these guys in the news, you know, this guy killed these people and all, and then the judge gets up and says, well, my client didn't do anything of the kind, or he raped a bunch of women, he did this, he did that, and he says, you think, that's got to be a crook to be able to represent someone like that. Amen. It's got to be a crook. A guy would take, just for the money, represent, when my father and mother had the business, my father had the business and everything, I was going to jail all the time, and we had this lawyer, his name was Rick Edwards, I think it was. And this guy would always, my mother would go to his office when I got put in jail or something, and she'd go to his office, and he'd do this. I don't know if he was Jewish or what, but he would say, oh, don't worry about it. He's everything going to be fine. Just go home and get me some money. He would do that. Just go home and get me some money. That's what he wanted. Yeah. And I was going to jail all the time, I knew the guy was getting paid off. I knew he was paying the judges and all that, so I was cocky. Then I thought about the Lord. He represented me. And I'm guilty. And so are you. Is he crooked? No. And what the Lord says? Innocent. You asked him to save you? He says, innocent. I thought about that. I thought about all them times I watched them attorneys and them judges, how crooked everything was. And then the Lord steps up and says, he says to the Father, you know, the Bible gives you a picture that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the prosecuting attorney, and he's right. The devil is right when it comes to accusing us. He's right. They did this. They did that in such and such time. They did this, and they committed murder in their heart. They done this. Christians, even now. It says he's our advocate. And we're guilty. And Jesus Christ stands up and says, I don't see anything in the part of it. And God the Father says, well, dismiss. Amen. Throw it out of court. Now you say, well, wait a minute, aren't we guilty? Well, the Lord knows that. When you stand before God, when I stand before God, you're not going to get away with nothing. And the devil has been right in our accusing us. We think wrong. If we don't get our minds in this and have a mind of Christ and get this mind, that's why it's so important each day to get in your Bible, because you're getting his mind. And you're getting his mind over your mind. Amen. Over your hopes or your dreams, all that stuff. You're saying, Lord, I don't want to do my will. I want your will to be done. You're getting his mind controlling yours. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Thought it not robbery, be equal with God. So then he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then you got the Lord saying, innocent. I paid for it. I paid for all that. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So are we going to get away with sin? Are we going to get away with it? The law of sowing and reaping is still there. It's still there. And when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, now, is that going to determine whether we go to hell? No. It's going to determine how much you loved him, how much you was willing to sacrifice for him. And I don't want his eyes looking at me, walking up and stepping up, and we're standing at attention. And each one of us is not going to be worried about somebody else. You're not going to be worried. What if so-and-so don't like James and John and all of them? What about, or Peterson, what about them? It ain't going to be none of that. It's going to be, what have you done? And the Lord's going to look at you personally and say, you love me, right? Didn't you love me? I started thinking about that advocate, him representing me. I would like the devil to lie about me. I would like the devil to lie about me and say, he did this and he did that, and knowing I didn't. Wouldn't that be a blessing? If he accused me of something and I didn't really do it, and I said, well, wait a minute, I didn't do that. And I would feel good about it. I didn't do it. He's accusing me. Hallelujah. What a blessing. And the Lord knows I didn't do it. But this day and time, man, is a lot of people doing stuff. They're doing stuff, and the devil's right. And he's got us pegged. He's got us. And the Lord has to represent us. I mean, I thought about, like I said, the guy killed somebody, you know the guy did this, and the lawyer's sitting there representing, said, no, my client's innocent. And in his heart, he knows it's a lie. But I wonder how the Lord feels. He knows you did it. He's representing you before the Lord, God, Father. And he says, but I paid for it. Whew. That'll sober you up a little bit. I've been in some courtrooms. I went to court for my brother. My sister was there. And the attorney said this. He said, Your Honor, I've been in a lot of courtrooms. So, Your Honor, Mr. Ryman's brother is here. He's a representative of Faith Baptist Church in Smyrna, Delaware. He's participates in his community. He went through a whole bunch of stuff. And he said, oh, he's here. He said, would you stand up? He said, would you like to say something? I couldn't say no. I stood up and I said, no, sir. I sat back down. My brother looked at me like, what? I just couldn't say no. But the Lord says something for us. My brother got saved now, and the Lord still saved him, forgives him. Would you trust him? No. I'm talking about my brother. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's pleading our cause. And then it says he is the propitiation for our sins. He calls, I'm looking up an old dictionary, to cause to become favorable, incline, win or gain the goodwill of another. It says he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's representing us, and he's got our goodwill in mind, and he's always got us on his mind, our goodwill. But we don't have his on our behalf. When he was on this earth, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And he's just looking for somebody to be willing to take on his business. People say, well, it ain't none of my business. I always tell people, whenever I go, I say, hey, look, I'm Pastor Ryan. I got to do my job. It's my business. It's my business. Let me give you a track, tell you about Jesus. That's my business. I'm representing him. So are you. We have an advocate. My little children, these things write out unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he is the propitiation of our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And the world looks at you if you say you know him. And the world looks at you and see how you act. And you say you know him. And if you lose your cool, and you blow your top, and you act like a fool, the world says, they don't know. They don't know. Now, you say, how are we going to be judged? Are we going to be judged our sins at the judgment seat of Christ? No. What we're going to be judged by our works. Our sins are forgiven. Now, I believe this. The Bible says, that verse right before it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. You're saying to God, ha, I didn't sin, you're a liar. I didn't do nothing wrong. You liar. You're calling God a liar. And, you know, it says, we confess our sins. He is faithful, just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. You know, that Bible says this in 1 Corinthians, talking about the Lord's Supper. It says, if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to judge things in your life. Most Christians don't judge nothing. You're supposed to say, I've gone away from places, and I've talked to people, and I said, Lord, that was wrong. I was wrong. God, forgive me. And I've had to turn around and go back and say, look, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You have to judge things. You got to judge stuff in your life. Amen. When you're arguing with your husband or arguing with your wife, somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. You want peace in the house? You got to judge things. Say, hey, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I want my home a little bit of heaven on earth, not on hell on earth. Amen. If we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. That's when it comes to the Lord's Supper. You know, because if you don't judge sin, that's why it's important. I had a good friend, had a church. He started saying, well, you don't have to judge your sins. You don't have to confess anything. That's crazy. Amen. That's crazy. That's just downright crazy. Amen. That's trying to bring judgment upon people. When a person says, I don't got to confess my sin, who do you're supposed to confess them to him. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at it. Since we're there, 1 Corinthians talking about that. You're supposed to judge things. He is the propitiation of our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And we're supposed to judge things in our life. There's a teaching saying, okay, he judged everything at Calvary. He paid our sin debt, which he did. He did pay our sin debt. We're washed in the blood. We're forgiven. But every day we live, we sin. We got to get clean on a daily basis. Every day. And you think about people like this brother I was talking to. He said, well, I still read my Bible. I still pray. I said, have you asked God to forgive you for being bitter at him? People sitting in church, they're bitter at God. They won't admit it. You won't admit it. I'm bitter at God. For God took my loved one. God took this one. God did that. God did that. And they're bitter at God. And the root of it, bitterness. I said, you asked God to forgive you for being bitter at him? I prayed with him. I said, wait, before we get off the phone, let's pray. And we prayed. And it's scary. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to get, you know, there's so many preachers right now are not, they quit preaching, they quit pastoring, they quit everything, and they're sitting at home because they can't find a church, you know, they can't find a church that they can agree with, and they can't find nobody they can walk with, and they can't, guy called me this week, he said, I just resigned my church, and I'm looking for a place to go pastor. I thought, my God, man, you need to get right with God first. You need to get right with God first. Before you start pastoring anybody, you better get your family to get your heart right. God have mercy. I'm sick and tired of seeing these train wrecks. Amen. Look, the Bible says, and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at this. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. For let a man examine himself, and let him so eat that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily and eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God will whoop you. And there's times where you even though you confess it and you say, Lord, I was wrong, God's still going to whoop you. He's still going to whip you over it. Sometimes he might let you slide. Sometimes the Lord says, okay, you beat yourself up enough over that. That's fine. I mean, you've got your punishment. But then sometimes he might just have to whoop you. We're going to have to stop right there.